Thankful to have Brother Tim Sailors here to preach this evening. And I haven't had the opportunity to get to know Brother Sailors very well. I've been in a few services with him. I was going to defer to Brother Moran. I thought Brother Moran could do a much better job introducing him, but then he deferred also. And he thought Brother Carver would do a better job, and Brother Carver accepted. I know that Brother Sailors has been preaching for a little over 2 years. I know that he's a member of New Bethel. I know he has a very nice family. I know he has a pastor that he could sure learn from. And those things are all wonderful blessings. But Brother Carver, if you would please come and introduce Brother Sailors to us, please. And we appreciate that.
First off, I'd like to say I've known Brother Tim for approximately, I'm going to say about six, seven years. In that time, I've grown to love him. And when the Lord called him to preach, he fought with the Lord for a long time about it. And he came to my house one night, and of course, when we used to get together, he farms too, and I farm. And so when we normally get together, we'd talk about cows or the hay or something other, you know. Well, that night, I was interested in talking about some cows I had. And I carried him down to the barn, and I was showing him my cows, and he just couldn't stand still. He just like he's on coals of fire, and I didn't know what was wrong with him, you know. He said, let's go up here and get in the truck. He said, I've got to talk to you. And I said, well, we can talk. He said, no, let's go up here and get in the truck. He wanted to get me away from them cows because I wasn't paying any attention to him. And so we went up there, and he told me, he said, the Lord's called me to preach. And I think he went to Brother Moran and of course, another preacher y'all know, Brother Ron Spurgeon. He said, I felt like I need to go to those three and talk. Now, I don't know why he came to me. It meant something to me. Apparently, I had an influence on him. I don't know how. I don't know where, but he came to me that night, and it meant a whole lot to me. It touched me. And we've not always been able to go every time he has stood. My wife, she's had a lot of health problems, and there's been some times that he has had appointments, and we couldn't go and be with him. But, you know, whether we was there in person or not, her heart has always been with him when he stood and preached. Because I've been, I know what he's going through. It's hard to go and preach the gospel. And he needs the Lord with him tonight. We talked about this. And I said, if the Lord's with you, you know, everything will be fine. Just depend on him. And so I know he desires your prayers tonight as he tries to stand. And I asked him a while ago, I told him, I said, they asked me to introduce you. And I said, you want me to say all bad things or you want me to say a few good things? And he said, well, you just tell the truth. So I don't know if I can tell the truth here tonight or not now. But I thank the world of Brother Tim and his family, and they mean the world to me. And I urge you to give an ear to him tonight and above all, lift him up to God. Because without God here, he can do nothing. None of us can. I'm sure Brother Miller and Brother Moran both tell you, without God in the service, there will be no service. And so he needs the Lord. I want to introduce you to Brother Tim Sailors, fine friend of mine. God bless you. I love you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad we're at Fairview Memorial tonight, and I'm thankful to God for this opportunity to stand. Because the way it was being deferred around, if we'd been at New Bethel, I'd have been the one introducing somebody. That's the way they do it over there. They pass it off over there, too. So I guess I'm at ease knowing that. I am thankful tonight to be here and thankful for the kind words that have been said about me. And I did tell Richard to, by all means, tell the truth. And he does. He means a lot to me, as Brother Moran and Brother Miller, as I've gotten to know him, like he said, in a few services. It means a lot knowing that you have preaching brethren, that if you have a question or you're having a trial in your life that you can turn to because they've been down the same road. And they've stepped over and around a lot of the same stumbling blocks. And it's a big help to you when the Lord puts somebody on your heart to talk to and you go talk to them. And as he told you, I did talk to him and Brother Moran and Brother Ron Spurgeon. And when I finally told God I'd announced my calling to preach, but I needed somebody to talk to. So he put them three men on my heart, and they do mean a lot to me. And in my human mind, I guess I was thinking, well, out of the three, surely one of them would tell me I was mistaken. But of course they didn't. They told me if I'd been called to preach, I had to stand and preach. So I would ask y'all to pray for me tonight. And as I try to stand, when I got the call yesterday morning, but Brother Miller, it just all rushed back to me. In my memory, I stood over at Western. I hadn't been preaching but a few months, and they, student union, asked me to come over there and preach one night. And Brother Miller come in, as well as some others, and he come to me after it was over and told me anytime I felt like coming to Fairview Memorial to ask him, and he'd get me an appointment. So I'd prayed about it, and the Lord just, he had never give that to me. And I want to stay busy preaching, but I also want to be where the Lord wants me to be preaching. And we came on New Year's Eve night to the very spiritual singing that we had here, and it was a blessing. And I thought about it then, but so much going on, I never got around to Brother Miller and asking for an appointment. So with him calling yesterday morning, and I feel like the Lord was in it for him to call on me. I don't know how he come to my name and number, but I feel like I'm here tonight because the Lord wants me to be, and I am thankful to the church for the opportunity, and I'm thankful to my family. I have a great big family on both sides, and they do support me very well. And thankful for my church family. They support me in their prayers, and I do desire your prayers tonight. As I talked to Brother Carver yesterday, I told him, I said, well, I'll be praying for you because he preached on the radio this morning. And I said, you be praying for me. And I said, pray that I'll get myself out of the way that God can give me the message. Lots of times it seems like we wrestle with a message, and lots of times in my fault because I don't want to get Tim out of the way to let God have liberty to give me that message. So I hope and pray tonight that I can present these words that the Lord's given me to speak, that it'll be for His honor and glory. And before I go any further, I always try to say it, but sometimes I forget. If you feel a need to come to this altar and pray, by all means, you come. You won't interfere with me. If the Lord puts something on your heart to say or do, I beg you, do it. Because you won't interfere with the service. I know that's the pot calling the kettle black, I guess, because lots of times I'll sit on my hands and say, no, Lord, I don't want to stand up and testify, or I don't want to request a song, I don't want to sing a song. But I do ask y'all to do better than I do and just follow the Lord tonight. As I was studying this afternoon, the Lord led me through several different books of the Bible, so I'm just going with His lead. I'm going to start in reading. If you'd like to turn, I'm going to be reading a few verses from John chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 16. This is very familiar reading. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I'm going to stop my reading right there. As I was studying this afternoon, I had an appointment to preach at White Hill on December the 28th, and I got up and I'd done some studying that morning real early, and the Lord's leading me another way, so I kept studying where I wanted to, and finally He got me in line and I got over the scriptures He wanted me to get over to. But as we're just now coming out of this Christmas season and thinking about the gifts that we try to give our children, our family, our friends, this gift that God gave to us is the greatest gift that's ever been given in this world. He gave His only begotten Son, that through Him we might have life, everlasting life. As I was thinking today and praying, studying, you know, a lot of people I come in contact with ask me, say, well, what do you know? That's just a common phrase. And lots of times I say, I don't know nothing. And lots of times you run into people, you ask them what they know, and they tell you everything they know. We like to call them know-it-alls. But even with the know-it-alls we run into in this life, as we know, they don't know it all. But there's only one thing that you know that nobody else in this world knows, and where you stand with God tonight. And I'd ask you, if you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved by the grace of God, that you would search your heart tonight as I try to bring this message, because we don't none have the promise of tomorrow. As I was thinking a while ago, I failed to make a request, so it just come to me, so I'll go ahead and make it. On New Year's Day, a member of our church passed away. And I went to school with her son. We was fairly good friends when we was in school. As we graduated school and got out on our own, he went his way, I went mine. And right now he's going down a very destructive road of drugs and alcohol. And I talked to his sister at the funeral home. His mother had asked me a few years ago if I would talk to him, and I tried. But that's all I could do. I talked to his sister, and she said he's not doing any better. He hadn't even been to the funeral home at that time to see his own mother. So when somebody gets in that kind of shape, you know, that's pretty sad. He's going to spend the rest of his life regretting that. And I think he'll regret it after that too, just my personal feelings. But as I talked to his sister, she said, if you was to see him, talk to him, please. I said, I'll do one better than that. I said, I'll talk to the one that can find him when nobody else can. And that's who it's going to take to get a hold of that boy tonight. It's going to take God to get a hold of him and get him in a shape that he'll realize where he's made his mistakes and he'll try to straighten his life out. But as I was thinking about this tonight, this afternoon, I was thinking of that old song we sing sometimes, Jesus Passed By. The night I got saved as a 13-year-old boy, there was many in the church. There was another lady seeking the Lord beside me on the altar. And there was a lot of people praying on my behalf. But the Lord heard my prayer, but I didn't tell it. Right then, as I got up, Jesus had passed by, but didn't nobody know it but me. And if you've been saved, when the Lord passed by and saved your soul, you're the only one that knowed it till you shared it with people. And as I make acquaintances in this life, and even my own family, I hear a lot of testimonies that I know are sound testimonies that I believe with all my heart. I don't doubt. But to say that I know for sure, I cannot speak for anybody but my own, for myself. I can't speak for my children. And as we studied this afternoon, the Lord led me over to a few verses in Isaiah chapter 55. Again, very familiar reading. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, as I go to work, as I step out in this old world that we live in, I try my best to witness to people in my weak way. And some people think salvation is as easy as getting up this morning and saying, "I want bacon instead of sausage." And if the Lord's not in it, there's not going to be any salvation. Because the Bible tells us it's a gift from God. It's not of our works. It is a gift from God. So they got to have that conviction set in. And I thought back about that too. That night that conviction set in on me, I told people, no, I wasn't lost. They'd come to me with tears in their eyes asking me if I was lost, if I felt like going to pray, and I told them no. I knowed I was lost. I knowed I had to be saved to get to heaven, but that conviction wasn't there. And so I'd heard all these testimonies of brothers and sisters that had been given that they got saved at home and out on the farm, on the road, any place but up there in front of the church at that old altar. And that was what was standing between me and God, was that old altar at Maysville Missionary Baptist Church. As we were standing out front a while ago, I told my son, "Brother William Hired is the one that baptized me, a former pastor here." And as I was thinking about that, when God got in it, though, Tim already, at that time they called me Timmy, Timmy already had it in his mind how his salvation was going to work out. Me and God was going to get it done anywhere but at that old altar. I was going to make my altar somewhere else. I didn't want to go up in front of that church. I told them people I wasn't lost. I was going to be a liar if I went up there and bowed down. Of course, that was a 13-year-old boy's mind trying to figure it all out. And finally, the Lord got a hold of me so strong that when that conviction set in, that night I knowed I had to go to that altar. That night I knowed without a shadow of a doubt that I was lost and undone, and I felt like if I closed my eyes that I'd wake up in the devil's hell. I just knowed I couldn't go to sleep. So I just ask y'all to pray tonight for all of the ones that you might know that's lost and undone, that the Lord would in some way, and He's a great God, He can do anything He wants. And He lets us have a little feeble part in it sometimes, but that the Lord might set conviction upon these people, because without it, they're going to lead their lives in a very sad state. As we went on praying and studying, I was thinking, Lord led me over in John chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. I don't know where I'm going to start. As I was studying this afternoon, I thought I'd start out reading this Scripture, and the Lord just kept on, no. So I'm trusting in Him that this will be done pleasing in His eyes and for His honor and glory. Starting at the first verse of chapter 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. I'm going to stop my reading right there. If the Lord wants me to, I'll read further. But, you know, Jesus performed many miracles while he was here on this earth that only he could perform. And this blind man here, when I read this, I know this is very deep scripture. But just my little thoughts on it tonight is this man, he was blind, as I was blind when I was lost. I felt like I was blind. And a lot of this world we walk into and talk to, they're blinded. They're blinded by the devil. They don't see the need. And it's sad to say, but a lot of our churches and so-called sound churches are deceiving people. And they're still walking around blinded because they've been told that if they'll repeat a prayer, if they'll shake a hand, if they'll take counseling, if they will accept Christ, that it'll all be all right. And that is very sad, because if that would have been the case, this little country boy would have been saved a long time before he was, because I had accepted that I had to be saved by Christ. But I hadn't got myself in a place that the Lord accepted me. And when the Lord accepted me, then I knowed I was saved, because that burden was gone. It wasn't nothing that a man done. It wasn't nothing that I'd heard said to me. Many people come around that night. I was on that old altar begging the Lord. I don't know if I could say anything out loud, but they come around encouraging me, but I couldn't tell you anything that was said to me. I wasn't looking for them people. I was looking for Jesus. Because of that conviction that was in my heart, I was looking for Jesus. And that's what the Lord tells us to do. He's wanting that effort that's demanded here. He told the blind man, he said, Go and wash. And that night he knocked on my little 13-year-old heart. He said, told me to go and pray. Go and pray at that altar. If he'd have told me to go outside, I had to go outside. But he told me to go to that altar. And my family will tell you, sometimes I'm hard-headed. I don't follow directions very good. I want to do things the way I wanted to. Y'all can talk to my mother. She'll fill you in on a little bit of that later on. But that night, when this old heart got in such a shape that the Lord got a hold of me, I followed his direction that night. But as we go on in our reading here. This man, he was questioned about it. He's questioned about who gave him his sight back. And he told him it was a man called Jesus. And if you go on reading, I'm going to skip over some. I don't feel led to read those verses of Scripture, but if you go over to the 20th verse and start there, it says his parents, I'll back up to the 19th verse, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. He was of age. And when I read that this afternoon, the thought just come to my mind, he was accountable. Now you can talk to a lot of our children that's in our churches and they can tell you what you must do to be saved, but they hadn't got to that point yet that they're accountable. And until they do, the Bible teaches me that they're okay with the Lord. But when they get to that age, that they can answer for themselves, that the Lord holds them accountable. That's when they become lost and undone without him. But if you skip down to the 25th verse, and I'll try to hurry along, it says he answered and said, because they had asked him again the same question, who gave him the sight? It says he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So if that night in July, when the Lord saved my soul in 1986, if you would have asked me, because the next day, I failed to tell you this a while ago, the next day I went to my grandmother. And Granny's not able to be with us tonight, but I've got three of my great aunts with me, my Granny's baby sisters, and I appreciate that. But I went to Granny and I asked her, told her what had happened to me on that altar. All she could tell me was, be sure. You have to be sure. So that didn't suit me, so I went to Daddy. Asked him, we was having afternoon services back in. We was getting ready to go to church, so I asked him. I said, Daddy, told him what happened. I said, I don't know if I was saved. He said, well, you have to be sure. He said, when you go to church, he said, go back to that altar. See if that burden's still there. Well, thanks be to God, before we ever got to church and they had to call for prayer, I knowed I didn't have to go back. The Lord had made it clear to me. He took all that doubt away that was in my little 13-year-old mind. He took all that away, and I knowed that the Lord had saved my soul. As I was reading that this evening, those four words right there, one thing I know. One thing that I know tonight, and I hope and pray that everybody here can say, the one thing I know is I'm saved. I know one day after a while when my time in this life is up, or the Lord comes back, that I have a home waiting for me in heaven. Because as we was reading this evening, over in Acts chapter 4, one verse of Scripture, I'm going to read. It says, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I ain't going to try to quote it because I'll mess it up, so I want to be sure I get this right. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's not a pastor, a preacher, a grandmother. See, we can't hold on to these ones that's went on before us that's been strong Christians. We can't go to heaven on their skirt tails, as I've heard it said before. We can't go like that. It's between us and God. We have to seek Him. It's an individual. When the Lord sets that conviction on our hearts. And I hope and pray that this little message tonight will be what the Lord would have it to be, that it would go out and be a help to somebody. I've sat in a lot of services and I've heard preachers preach to the lost, and you know, I'd pay attention, but I wouldn't pay attention. But then I'd get out and I'd get to talking to somebody, and the Lord would bring back to my remembrance something that was said. A verse of scripture, a song that was sung, a testimony, He would bring it back. And as Brother Miller said a while ago, it's important to come to church, to hear the Word of God, that we might learn, that we might be a help to somebody. Because, folks, we are walking in a very dark, dismal world out there. Seems like everybody else is smiling but us. We should be the ones smiling. We've got that hope of a home after a while that this old world don't have. A lot of them think they got the hope, but you get to talking to them and they got it because somebody told them they thought it was all right, that they was all right. Yeah, you've prayed a good prayer. It's all right. But that's not the way that it comes. As this Bible teaches me, it's not the way that you're going to get into heaven. But Romans, I'm going to read one more verse of Scripture. And I feel like the Lord done with me. In Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, that opens it up to pretty well every nationality, color, creed, whatever you might call yourself. There ain't none out there that's out of God's reach. If they're still got a breath of life in them, and I'm thankful for that. It gives me a hope to keep praying for these that I know of and the ones I've heard of that requested prayer for others. It gives us a reason to keep praying, church. It gives us a reason. I hope and pray that I've said or done something tonight that would be a help to somebody. As Brother Miller said, I've been around him a little bit. I met him at the minister's school, and I met Brother Dale Compton from Indiana. And he told me and Brother Luke Spurgeon, it was my first time there, and I was overwhelmed, scared to death. I ain't got no lies to tell nobody. But he was talking to me and Brother Luke, and he said, "There's three ups to preaching. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. Stand up when the Lord gives you the opportunity. Speak up where they can hear you. And shut up when He's done with you." And I've always tried to do that. When the Lord's done with me, I've tried to shut up. So I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Miller now. And pray that you have got something out of it and the Lord can take and do good with this little old message. Miller.
Appreciate the message tonight and thank Brother Saylor for coming. Thankful for those who have a desire to preach the Word of God. Brother Ernie, would you get a song ready for us? And I want us to come around and shake hands with this brother and let him know that we appreciate him and we need to pray for his ministry. I want to encourage him tonight to just keep studying, keep preaching, keep learning about the things of the Lord. I've heard what he said there in some of his closing remarks. I've heard that so many times. About preaching, about standing up, speaking up, and shutting up. And every time I hear it, I think most Baptist preachers have learned two of those. And I don't know if we'll ever get the other one, but I appreciate Brother Tim coming tonight and the things he shared with us. And so let's all stand and let's come up while we sing. Brother Tim, if you would come out front here.
Page 66.